Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Transplanting shrubs and trees is nothing new. Sometimes you have to. They've outgrown where they were first planted or have been abandoned somewhere and deserve a new home. But how big can you go or should go when moving a plant? I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So when does a plant need to be transplanted and when can gardeners tell? Is it obvious sometimes when that plant needs to move?
Well, there's some cues that one can look for in nature, and there's a couple of broad categories for transplanting that most gardeners can keep in mind. There are a few plants that they're spring bloomers. They have spring features. They're plants that you see for sale first or put in the front rows at the garden center or at the big box. Things like, say, a dogwood tree. They prefer to be transplanted in the spring, so they have all of the growing season ahead of them to kind of develop their below ground root system and get some of those processes started. Majority of other plants, though, fall is a good time to conduct those plantings. There's very little above ground growth going on, and the conditions for below ground growth are the greatest during those cool fall times. So the majority of woody plants are great to transplant once the leaves have started to turn color or they have dropped all their leaves. That's kind of the guideline that you could
use. So different plants do better at different times of the year, but I assume summer is probably the worst time. I mean, you've got heat stress. Sometimes it's really dry.
It is the worst time, and they should only be conducted in the summer if it's due to an immediate need. So they're tearing down a building, and you're going to, you know, ISU grounds, move some trees that were related to the improvements at the Bone Student Center, and that's a great way to go. Waiting around for the perfect time would have lost those trees.
Yeah, better than just destroying the tree.
That's right.
So what sort of precautions do you have to take to make sure that's a successful transplant in the summer?
I think, well, in the summer, Mike, one of the best things that you could do is you could cut the roots for the tree that you or woody shrub that you want to move and let it rest in the ground. Cut the roots one day and leave it right there in the ground. Mark the north side of this plant so that when you put it in its new home, it has the same orientation towards the sun that it had before you moved it.
Why is that important?
I think it's important because the leaves are the ones that do all the work with photosynthesis, and they create the energy that help build new tissue, recover from the stress of having the roots pruned for transplanting, and simply put, it has the least amount of stress on the plant.
So the same orientation, would that be important for a fall transplant when there are no leaves?
Well, the founder of Illinois State University, Jesse Fell, he was an extraordinary arborist and plantsman, and that was one of the things that he was very detail-oriented on, is to mark those trees and return them to the same position in the field for the exact same reason.
See, my instinct would be different. I think the tree might thrive by turning it around and giving the other side an opportunity to really grow with a southern exposure.
It may. But I think across a broad spectrum, it's helpful to know that trees develop thicker bark on the north and the west side because they fight the winter wind and they fight the blazing sun that comes there in the late afternoon. So the tree still has all those protections to fall back on.
Is soil temperature important? I know we're talking about fall, spring, and summer transplants. What about soil temperature?
Soil temperature is a big time issue, and it's why summertime is least desirable because the soils are warmer and roots do grow and they do work in warmer soil, but not to the extent that they do in the cool soil. So soil temperature is hugely important. And the one thing I didn't respond to in your question about summertime, dig the new hole for the tree or shrub that you're going to transplant and fill it up with water once or twice.
So water the hole before you actually move.
That's right.
So let's talk about the actual transplant process. And I assume we get started by actually digging that hole.
We're going to know first exactly what we're transplanting so we can make a excellent assessment on putting it in the right place.
So is a common mistake, well, first, yes, there's the right place, but when digging the hole, what's a I assume a common mistake is that the hole is too small.
Or the root ball that's removed to, you know, accompany the tree, it's too small.
They've taken too much of the root ball.
Yeah, yeah.
So how big, how deep? Are there some rules in terms of the hole that you dig for the plant that you're moving?
Yes. The width of the root ball is a simple calculation of 1.5 feet times the width of the trunk, right where it emerges from the ground. So a small 3-inch tree, it needs a big root ball. That's 4.5 feet. That's 2.25 feet on each side of
the
trunk.
It's a lot of digging.
And then you're going to dig a root ball that's as tapered as possible without being triangular. And typically, Mike, the width of your root ball is going to match the depth of your root ball. So a small tree, to save as many of the roots, still demands a pretty big root ball.
You're going to need 2 or 3 guys to move this thing.
Yeah.
So I've not transplanted big stuff. I have transplanted daylilies, hostas, an ornamental Alberta spruce, some other small shrubs and trees. And here's my technique. I'm curious if what you think of this. And I try to take as much of the surrounding dirt as possible. So the plant, you know, isn't really disturbed at all. It is still in its original surroundings, just in another location, if that makes sense.
I'd say that's an A plus, because the general spirit is to get as much of the roots as one can. That also points the difference between container grown trees and bald and burlap harvested trees. The bald and burlap ones are separated from the roots. The container ones have the roots right there in the pot. So they simply get established quicker.
So what about watering the plant, or even, you mentioned soaking the hole before transplanting, what about watering the plant afterwards?
It's important to keep the watering going. The International Society of Arboriculture has done a lot of research in this regard, and the initial watering alone increases your chances by 72% of having success.
Really, just watering the hole?
Just the first watering.
Oh, the first watering.
Yeah, because a lot of times the trees are planted, and it's going to rain. And that's the excuse used to not water.
Sure.
And it's got to really rain to replace a watering.
So I had a friend that has done a lot of landscaping recently, and he was concerned that he was overwatering a tree. And when he backed off a little bit, it actually did better. Can you overwater a transplant?
You can easily overwater a transplant, and there are some trees that are more sensitive to the overwatering, and I like to use the example of an ornamental pear, a flowering pear. It and many other deciduous trees will take on a yellowing of the leaves that'll have a black margin or black spots, and that's kind of a sign of the trees drowning. The frequency of watering can be determined, at least educated estimate, by that task of filling the hole with water and seeing how long it takes that water to be absorbed by the hole. Fill it a second time. Now you know how long it's going to take that water to be absorbed after it's rained, for example, and the soil pores around your new planting site, they will wick away the water that you provide. So if you've kind of soaked that area by filling that hole with water, it's going to tell you, it's going to take me 3 or 4 days between each watering, and maybe a little less when it's really hot during the summer. But you can take all the guesswork out of it by using a gator bag or some other kind of drip irrigation vessel that is made specifically for transplants.
What about backfilling?
Backfilling, there are a couple of trains of thought on that. I favor the one where you use mostly the soil that is from the site.
Unless the soil is in poor condition.
And unless it's in poor condition.
Okay, so if you have any questions about transplanting shrubs or trees or about anything in your yard or garden, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about oak wilt. Is it a problem in Central Illinois right now?
It's a problem in the Fell Arboretum.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.